You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
A developing story to begin NFL Live today. Colin Kaepernick will be getting a workout with an NFL team this week. Adam Schefter, what do we know at this point?
This is going to be the first workout for Colin Kaepernick and an NFL team since he was exiled from the NFL after kneeling to protest racial injustice across the country. Now, he did visit the Seattle Seahawks 5 years ago, but there have been no visits. There have been no workouts, and at some point this week, the Raiders are planning to work out Colin Kaepernick, who's been training in Las Vegas. We'll see how that goes, but obviously, you don't bring in a player like this unless you are understanding of the ramifications and everything that comes along with it and what it can do for your offense. He's been looking for a chance just to get back to the National Football League. He knows that he'll have to come in as a backup, but again, this is something that's interesting because the Raiders have always been a progressive organization. We think back to Al Davis, the owner. He was the first owner to hire a black head coach in Art Shell. He was the first NFL owner to hire a female executive in Amy Trask. He hired Tom Flores, a Latino head coach. He's always been ahead of the curve. And now Mark Davis, the son, the head of the organization right now, obviously is a part of an organization that's planning to work out Colin Kaepernick. You wonder if other teams now will take notice and maybe that will generate a spark across the National Football League.
You know, Adam, you mentioned that Colin Kaepernick understands he would have to be a backup. Obviously, Derek Carr is there. The quarterback room consists of Nick Mullins and Jarrett Stidham. It's been 1,970 days since we last saw Colin Kaepernick play. That was week 17 of the 2016 season. How realistic do you think it is that the Raiders are bringing him in to potentially actually be a guy that's going to be able to play?
Well, you don't bring in a guy unless you plan to have him on the roster,
yeah.
Right? I don't think they're looking at him playing. Derek Carr signed a lucrative new extension. They're looking to come up with as much depth as possible on the roster. And clearly they see him as a guy that they're curious about, that they want to check out. They want to see how he's in shape, how he's throwing. He's 34 years old. We haven't seen him in the National Football League since he was 28, Laura. Mm. So it's been a long time. No one knows exactly the shape he's in. Nobody knows exactly how he would handle the offense. So the Raiders are going to bring him in, take a look, see what he's about, and maybe this will lead to other teams bringing him in. Other teams have pondered it. The league has advocated for teams across the league to give him a chance, but nobody has up until this week. At least there's a workout, which is a sign of progress, more progress than we've seen since he visited the Seahawks 5 years ago.
Fascinating story as this continues to develop. And let's bring in Jeff Saturday and Mike Tannenbaum, who are with us for the hour as well today. And Mike, I want to start with you from the front office perspective. What are the conversations that you would imagine are being had right now surrounding Colin Kaepernick and this news, knowing that he is being worked out by an NFL team this week?
Sure, I'd be sitting down with our head coach, our owner, Mark Davis, and Colin Kaepernick, and saying, hey, if we're going to sign you, we're going to stand shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to go through this together and put you in the best position possible, Laura, so you can be successful not only on the field but off the field, and we're going to do this in a united way. And I think the other thing that's really important here is this is the time of year that a new head coach and GM, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, are evaluating their roster, and as Adam alluded to, by bringing him in, I think this means they have real question marks about Jarrett Stidham and Nick Mullins, and if they're going to sign him, Laura, I wouldn't let him leave the building. I would sign him right away, which would give him the best chance to be successful come training camp. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, but I would be working intimately with Colin to say that, hey, if we sign you, here's what the calendar looks like, and here's how we're going to go from today in late May to training camp to give you the best chance to be successful.
Yeah, Mike, it makes a lot of sense. And Jeff, from the standpoint of someone like you who was a leader in the locker room throughout your NFL career, it's no secret that there is a polarizing aspect to Colin Kaepernick. Some people think he's done everything perfectly right. Some others think that he hasn't. How do you expect the locker room, the players, to receive Colin Kaepernick if he gets this opportunity?
They'll accept him just fine, Laura. The reality is, at this point in the season, everybody's just trying to make the team, right? And so when everybody's getting there, if he's better than Stidham and Mullins, what Mike T just talked about, and he has a chance to make the Las Vegas Raiders a better football team, bring him on, because you want the best 53 by the time you walk out week one. And so I don't think there'll be any issue. You think about what Adam was saying. I mean, listen, my last game as a Packer, I watched Colin Kaepernick run up and down the field in the playoffs and knock us out, right? That's my last, you know, actual recollection of watching him play face-to-face. So I've seen what this guy is capable of doing. If in these 6 years he's continued to keep himself up, which it looks like he has, physically throwing the ball, to stay this sharp, to be able to even to go into a place to work out is pretty amazing that he's kept himself on point this way. So if he walks in and impresses, I'm like Mike T. I don't think you let him walk out of the building. You sign him and see if he can make you a better football team.
Yeah, again, the last time we saw him play week 17 of the 2016 season. Now, Mike T, Adam, is saying, I don't let him leave the building. I sign him. I keep him there. What do you expect, though, if the Raiders don't end up signing him, the interest level to be from other teams potentially?
Well, again, this is something that you waited to see. Nobody's really been willing to break the ice, if you want to call it that, because there would be ramifications, some blowback from some sides about bringing him in. There are many people across the league. There are others across the country, football fans, who felt like this is long overdue, that he deserved an opportunity. And the Raiders are going to give him a chance to work out, show that he stayed in shape, show that he's ready, show that he's willing, show that he wants to be a part of an NFL team, which he has claimed he has. And so the Raiders will get a chance to talk to him. Mark Davis has talked about the fact that he believes in Colin Kaepernick, that he'd be interested in bringing him in. And now they're going to do that with a workout. But again, I just come back to this, Laura. He hasn't worked out for anybody since he left the league. He hasn't visited with anybody in 5 years. So this is really precedent setting in the idea that nobody's taking a look at the guy. And now the Las Vegas Raiders are going to give him that chance to at least take a look and see what he's about. And maybe that will lead to them signing him.
Yeah, Adam, it could be a potentially very monumental day that we look back on. We'll be on this throughout the show. And let's continue with a little more information on Colin Kaepernick. In his career as a starting QB, he had a 28-30 record, led the 49ers to Super Bowl 47. One thing Kaepernick did extremely well during his career was take care of the ball. He holds the fifth lowest interception rate in NFL history. To some news here, two women who have accused Deshaun Watson of inappropriate sexual conduct condemned the Cleveland Browns for giving the quarterback an NFL record $230 million guaranteed contract after trading for him. And in their first national TV interview, which aired Tuesday night, Ashley Solis and Kayla Hayes appeared on HBO's Real Sports to detail the then Texan QB's conduct during massage sessions. Here's more from Solis.
He just kept directing me to go lower and don't be scared. You can go in there, like, and I just started really freezing up at this point.
Can you explain that?
Like a wave just took over my body. I felt so hot. I was sweating. It was getting more and more clear that this is not what I signed up for.
Two grand juries have declined to pursue criminal charges against Watson, but that does not mean he won't face discipline from the NFL. At yesterday's owner meetings, Commissioner Roger Goodell was asked about that process.
I can't give you a timeline because I think that process will go forward. I think we're nearing the end of the investigative period, and then at some point, as you know, this will be handled by our disciplinary officer. And that will happen hopefully shortly, and then we'll see where that comes out.
Let's bring Adam Schefter back in here. Adam, Goodell says they are nearing the end on the same day we hear from Watson's accusers. What are you hearing about where the investigation stands?
I think when the accusers come out and say what they did, none of this surprised the NFL. The NFL has spoken to some of the accusers, Laura, but I think it could slow down the process a little bit and push it back. Look, the NFL, I think all along, has wanted to make a decision at some point this summer, certainly before training camp, so that there's clarity and certainty to this situation. Now, maybe the accusers coming out and saying what they did forces the NFL to do even that much more research. But let me remind you, last week, when the NFL met with Deshaun Watson face-to-face, Lisa Friel did, the NFL investigator. My understanding is that they met at least Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That would be three straight days, and that would be more than I can ever recall the NFL ever meeting face-to-face with one player who is under review under the personal conduct policy. So clearly the NFL spent a lot of time with Deshaun Watson. It has spent time with some of his accusers, and now we will see at some point this summer, presumably, what the NFL decides is fair in terms of the disciplinary process.
Yeah, just all of that information gathering makes you think how serious all of this is being taken by the NFL.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Just 10 days ago, Bills players were in a Buffalo neighborhood trying to comfort a community rocked by a racist attack in a supermarket that left 10 dead. Yesterday, another nightmare. 19 children and two adults were shot and killed in a school in Uvalde, Texas, about 85 miles from San Antonio. The Robb Elementary School teaches second, third, and fourth graders. Warriors coach Steve Kerr was so affected that he refused to talk basketball before last night's game against the Mavericks, instead imploring the country to enact gun reform, banging the table, and yelling, enough. Reaction to the shooting also came from all over the NFL, including an emotional Mike McCarthy moments ago.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, heavy heart. Obviously, I'm sure like everybody, you know, this is something we're dealing with. State of Texas, and you know, just this week in general is just, it's mind-boggling. I don't like talking about these things because I mean, it's hard enough to think about as a parent. But we've been talking about it a lot today, so this is obviously a topic for all of us, you know, here. So, yeah, we got to be better. I mean, you know, responsibilities we have as a community, as parents. I mean, it's just. It's just to see this go on in today's world. I find it troubling. There has to be a better way. We know there's a better way, and we need to do the things, you know, to make it better. To protect the future of our communities. It's tragic. It makes me sick. Like I'm sure it does everybody.
The NFL tweeted, "Our hearts are broken tonight. The NFL family grieves with the families of the children and teacher and the entire Uvalde community. After today's horrifying tragedy, we wholeheartedly pledge the NFL's support." And look, we're all struggling to find the words here. Nothing feels like enough. But what I do want to say is we are mourning with the families who lost their little ones. We're all sick to our stomachs thinking about these children with their whole lives ahead of them being taken from this world and not being protected from senseless violence. Just like you, we hugged our kids extra tight as we dropped them off at school. Thoughts and prayers are not enough, and change is needed. And if you don't think change is necessary, imagine the horror of your child, your family member, being one of those victims. Let's find it in ourselves to give our children the world and the safety they deserve.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We saw Trey at North Dakota State under center.
This guy is electric. The San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance.
I want to be a leader for these guys.
Do they think that Trey Lance can develop without playing?
It's time for the 49ers to go all in on him.
You got to go against what's safe and go for what can be big.
He's just got that makeup that the great ones do. He's going to get his chance to go show that.
I'm the man. Yeah, he's mad. I'm the man. That's the buzz.
but when you talk about Trey Lance, you still have to think about Jimmy G. He's still a 49er, but what does his future hold? Well, yesterday, here's Kyle Shanahan on that very subject.
Nothing's changed since his surgery. You know, we were where we were at before that, and then he got the surgery, so everything went on hold. I expect him at some time, most likely to be traded, but who knows? It's not a guarantee, and it's been exactly on hold when that happened, and when he's healthy, we'll see what happens.
Okay, so it's pretty interesting from the head coach. Jeff, does moving on from Garoppolo make sense for the 49ers?
Absolutely not. I mean, why, right? Like, you just heard him. They had all these plans to trade him. They make all these moves in the draft, and Trey Lance is now there. But here's a guy who is taking you to a Super Bowl, who is taking you to an NFC Championship game, that they average 28 points when he's a starting quarterback. And you're not, unless you get a king's ransom or exactly what you want for him, what hurt does it have to keep him in your locker room and in your building? Because here's the truth. You've given Trey Lance the keys to the car. Everybody knows he's going to have the chance to take this job and run with it. But if something were to happen, catastrophic injury-wise, you know, God forbid, or he doesn't play well, you have a guy that you know you can win with. So I have no reason to believe it would be smart for them to let him go, again, unless they get a king's ransom.
Yeah, Laura, I completely agree with Jeff. And as Jeff said in the last segment, let the best players play. And Jimmy G led them to the championship game two of the last 3 years. I love Trey Lance coming out, but he only threw 71 passes a year ago, and the year before that only played in one game. So bring him along slowly, and in a 17-game season at the most important position, deal from a position of strength and have two guys that you like, not one.
Yeah, Adam, if they do want to move him, they need a trade partner. Jeff's talking about they'd have to get a king's ransom. So is there a team that makes sense there?
Well, here's the issue, Laura. He had the off-season shoulder surgery in March. Once he has the shoulder surgery, that really puts all trade talks on hold, because any team that would be willing to trade for him to give up the necessary compensation that Mike and Jeff believe that Jimmy Garoppolo would be worth, that would be willing to take on his salary of about $25 million, any team making that much of an investment in the trade in the player wants to see that he's healthy. And right now he's not fully healthy. He's anticipating being healthy by this summer, by training camp. But again, we have to see. And so any trade that could happen now, the talks, the idea that would be cooled off by the condition of Jimmy's shoulder. So everything is put on hold until he's better. Once he's better, maybe the landscape changes. Maybe there's a team that has a quarterback injury. Maybe there's a team that's not happy with its quarterback play during training camp. But right now, everything is on hold.
All right, Mike, you give us a team then. Is there a team that makes sense to you to send Jimmy G to and be a trade partner here for the 49ers?
The Carolina Panthers. Matt Rule needs to win now. Matt Corral may be great in 2 years, but I want to keep my job. So Jimmy G gives me my best chance to win. I have experienced a number of years ago, we had Vinny Testaverde, who we acquired in June. The Ravens had cut him. He took us to the championship game that year. We had a good team. We needed a good quarterback. He wound up being out Glenn Foley. We got to the championship game. I think Carolina has a really good defense. You put Jimmy G in the mix, they may be able to make the playoffs, and Matt Rule may be able to keep his job.
How about Seattle? You know what I mean, Mike? You're staying in your division. You know exactly what you're going to face week in and week out. You're very familiar with everybody. Again, if you're Pete Carroll and you're sitting in this organization and you're not happy exactly with what you have right now, could be, even if you're going to draft one later on, could be a guy who helps bring a guy along. He's not a huge cap number. He may have to get a deal done, but you could keep him for the future. I think that'd be another place that I'd look.
Adam.
Yeah, well, listen, I think that is the issue and the reason that the 49ers wouldn't cut Jimmy Garoppolo, because of the presence of Seattle. Wouldn't you rather hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo cut him for nothing and have him go to a division rival that would give them a chance to unseat? It doesn't make any sense. That's why releasing Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, doesn't seem like a viable option on May 25th. Now, we'll see how it unfolds during the summer, but Seattle is sitting out there. The Niners wouldn't want to trade him there, although we've seen intra-division trades before. We've seen Drew Bledsoe traded from New England to Buffalo. And if Seattle offered enough, maybe that would be possible. But the idea that if you were to release Jimmy Garoppolo, he could wind up in Seattle. So I don't see a release happening anytime soon.
Yeah, you wonder, too, I mean, where does Baker Mayfield play into all of this as well? A couple quarterbacks here that we might see on the trading block, but not yet. As for Trey Lance, though, who's not going anywhere, it turns out he wasn't fully healthy his rookie season. Here's what the QB himself said about that.
I kind of dealt with my finger throughout the season. So for me, it was kind of getting that back and getting healthy and feeling, you know, back to myself. I feel like towards the end of the season, I wasn't the best version of myself overall. And I think the finger for me was the biggest thing, just as far as throwing the ball. I had to learn how to throw the ball differently without, you know, kind of using my pointer finger, I guess, just because of where it was at throughout the year. But now, I mean, I feel like I'm in a great spot health-wise and throwing the ball well and feel really good.
All right, so pointer finger on his throwing hand was injured. Jeff, does that explain some of the accuracy issues last year for Lance? You're not buying it. Oh, no.
No. No one cares. Uh-oh. Everybody's freaking hurt. Man, it's the NFL. Listen, except for day one of the OTAs, you're always hurt. Like, we heard Tom Brady after they won the Super Bowl, he was playing with a bum knee. I played with Peyton Manning for 13 years. Guys always banged up. Aaron Rodgers, you got to play through pain. There is no, well, my finger hurt, my back, whatever, man. We got to get wins, and you are a huge part of it. I don't need to hear about all the rest of it. Let's keep that between the trainers and the teammates. I don't really want to hear all that.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is when you're evaluating quarterbacks, being able to get through the rigors of a 17-game season is a big part of it. And let's just assume that's a little bit of a bump in the road. But if I was with the 49ers, that would be a concern. And the irony is that's been one of the biggest knocks about Jimmy G is, can he stay healthy? And to Jimmy G's credit, he did play in 15 of the 17 games a year ago. So we got to see how this goes for Trey Lance. But knowing how mobile he is and how much the ball is going to be in his hands, that is something I would keep an eye on if I was the 49ers.
Hey, Laura, let me just say this. I know Jeff said that on the first day of OTAs, everybody's healthy. Look, it's the first day of OTAs. I'm not healthy. My knee's giving me problems. My back is balky. But here we are doing the show anyway, okay?
Yeah,
we're
listen,
trying to get through it. And Trey Lance is feeling better, but not everybody on the show is right now.
Well, let me just say, I am no longer complaining about paper cuts or anything around Jeff Saturday because obviously he's got no time for that right here. Jeff,
he doesn't want to hear it.
All right, we have a developing story here today on NFL Lives. We've found out that the Raiders are working out Colin Kaepernick. We go back to Adam for more on that. Is this workout happening this week, Adam?
Yeah, Laura, in fact, it's going to happen today at some point in time, but Colin Kaepernick will be working out for the Las Vegas Raiders. It is the first workout for an NFL team that he has had since he has been out there as a free agent in 2016. The last real face-to-face contact that he's had with an NFL team was May of 2017, 5 years ago, when he flew to Seattle to visit with the Seahawks. Now, keep in mind, Mark Davis, almost 2 years ago, the Raiders owner, endorsed a team adding Colin Kaepernick. And Mark Davis's father, Al Davis, was a trailblazing pioneer in terms of civil rights and the National Football League. He was always a step ahead of somebody else. Now, Mark Davis taking a page from his father's playbook, bringing in Colin Kaepernick, working him out this week. We'll see whether or not the Raiders make a move. But the fact that he's in the building is a sign that there's interest, and we'll see if it's enough for them to sign him to a contract to add him to the quarterback room along with Derek Carr, Jarrett Stidham, who they traded for earlier this month, and Nick Mullins.
Adam, you mentioned that endorsement from Mark Davis of Colin Kaepernick. We found this tweet from 2020 from Paul Gutierrez, our Raiders reporter. He said that Davis, when asked about Kaepernick, said, "Since 2017, I've told the coaches and general managers that if they want to hire Colin Kaepernick, they have my blessing." So earlier on the show, Mike Tannenbaum said, "I wouldn't let Kaepernick out of the building. I would go ahead and just sign him." This is from 2 years ago. Mark Davis then saying they would have his blessing. Adam, when you see that and just remember that, such a strong endorsement, even as long ago as that was, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a couple of elements to this. There's the first element, that's the football side. And can the football side handle this? And I would think with the addition of Josh McDaniels as head coach, they absolutely could do this, welcome him in. Dave Ziegler as general manager, why not make that move? Then there's the business side of this, right? While some people might not approve of it, the fact of the matter is, I think it will be more popular than not. And do you know how many Colin Kaepernick jerseys the Las Vegas Raiders would sell if they wound up signing. From a business standpoint, it might be a brilliant play for this team to bring him in. And so when you combine the two elements, it really doesn't cost you much from a football standpoint other than a roster spot. There's a bonus on the business side. Where is the downside in bringing in a player like Colin Kaepernick that gives your team that much more of a high profile and gives him a chance to prove that he can try to be the type of quarterback he was when he played so well for the 49ers?
Yeah, obviously Derek Carr, the starter there. And I think about how Carr managed such a tumultuous season last year, managed that so well. It seems like that could be a nice component if Kaepernick joins this team.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jeff, we are knee-deep in the offseason, so no better time than to present and really dig in on the best linemen around the league. This is like chicken soup for my soul, and you've got some superlatives for us.
Yes.
Let's start with the best left tackle in the NFL. Who is it?
Trent Williams, and this isn't even close. This is the best offensive lineman in the league, period. This guy is an absolute stud. Laura, listen, whether you're asking him to run block, he'll dominate, or pass block, he absolutely dominates. He had 464 pass blocking snaps, zero sacks. That's what you call locking them down. Put them in the cuffs because they're going nowhere. Big man Trent Williams is absolutely a baller. Mad respect, best left tackle in the game. Best pulling guard, Quentin Nelson. Listen, I do a little segment on TV called Sat Him Down. Every week, I'm seeing something by 56 where he is literally planting a man in the ground. Either the back of his head or the back of his pads are hitting first. It is a phenomenal thing to watch. This guy is as physical as they come at guard, about to get paid big for those Indianapolis Colts. Best run-blocking offensive line, Philadelphia Eagles. Listen, everybody hear this stat. 1,800 rushing yards before contact. 1,800 rushing yards before contact. That means those five dudes dominated that defensive line where they didn't even touch them until they had already gotten 1,800 yards. The next closest was 1,500 yards with the Ravens. Absolutely incredible group. Best pass blocking line, Kansas City Chiefs. Now listen, weeks 1 through 4, they struggled a little bit because they had some rookies, but Andy Heck, their offensive line coach, has done a phenomenal job. Their pass block win rate at 2.5 seconds is above 70%, which is absolutely unheard of. I love the way they do it. There's a reason Mahomes has those numbers, because blocking allows that coverage to break down. Most improved for me is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. Why am I saying that? Because this team gave up 70 sacks last year. Good gracious. How Joe Burrow stayed and played and got them in the Super Bowl is absolutely amazing, but they made some huge additions, bringing in Lael Collins. They bring in Karras. So they've done some good things to bring guys. Kappa from Tampa Bay has come in, so they've addressed the issue. Very similar to me to what Kansas City did a couple years back. This group is going to be much improved, and look for big things out of those Bengals.
Let's go, Jeff. I love it. And listen, we couldn't give all this love to the O-line without bringing in a D-lineman, so Booger McFarland joining us here. Boog, other than Jeff Saturday, who was the best offensive lineman you ever played against?
That's right.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't put Jeff Saturday in that category. He was entirely too small for him. He could not deal with Boog. That's number one. Number two, it had to be Larry Allen, Laura. Larry Allen was a beast. Have we ever seen a guy that made All-Pro at four different positions, everyone except center? I mean, Larry Allen was absolutely dominant. I still remember the athleticism, the power. He could bench press almost 700 pounds. As a matter of fact, true story, Laura, they break the huddle. Them being the Cowboys against the Buccaneers. Larry Allen comes out of the huddle. He's got snuff and spit dripping down his chin.
Yes.
I look over to Warren Sapp. I say, hey, big guy, they came to see y'all too, not me. And I went to the other side.
Jeff, what do you think?
Hey, Laura, listen. At least if I'm going to get disrespected, I'm going to be disrespected by the best that's ever done it. Like, Larry Allen should have had his own separate wing of the Hall of Fame. So, all due respect to Larry, I ain't even put myself near that category. So, I agree with Boogs. Yeah. But Boogs knows I used to put it on him back in the day. Don't let him lie to you like that.
Come on now, Boog. Now, listen, guys, we're not done nerding out on blocking schemes here, okay? Dolphins new head coach Mike McDaniel spoke at length about how important fullback play might be in his offense. Listen to this.
Defenses aren't as adept at fitting those types of plays, whether it's runs or passes, and defending against it, which is a competitive advantage when you're able to find a fullback that's smart and can understand a lot of schemes and can read on the fly. But when that position player plays fast, it can be pretty disruptive to teams that aren't used to going against it.
Yeah, so much of the conversation's been around Tyreek Hill and all that, but the Dolphins' ground game is sure to look different under first-year head coach Mike McDaniel. Last season as the 49ers' offensive coordinator, San Francisco posted the highest rate of rushes outside the tackles, had the highest usage of 21 personnel. That means two backs, one tight end on the field. And those are two areas the Dolphins didn't utilize last season, as Miami recorded the lowest rate of rushes outside the tackles. Use 21 personnel on just 1% of their offensive snaps. That's going to change big time. Jeff, don't dumb this down for us one bit. Just how important can a fullback be to a blocking scheme in the NFL?
This is chess, not checkers, right? What he's telling you is when a fullback starts on one side of the ball in the backfield and moves over, whether it's in motion or post-snap, those defensive linemen are playing in assigned gaps, right? A gap, B gap, C gap. Well, all of a sudden, you've added a gap to the line that you're running to or passing to. That means where linebackers insert, where all these strong safeties, the safeties come flying down to make these big hits, these guys have to differentiate between where the gap now is. Offensive linemen know ahead of time where we can pin guys and pack guys in to create space and create gaps. And what he's saying is, you can remember back into college ball, right, where you played all these run pass option teams. Well, then you run into Army. Well, you ain't seen the option in 5 years. A lot of these college players haven't seen a fullback, so they don't even know what it looks like. To try to get prepared in a week, they're behind the eight ball. And again, you've seen Army upset some teams and get after some teams. This same philosophy is what McDaniel's trying to bring down to Miami.
Yeah, it causes a lot of problems defensively because now you got to bring that third linebacker in the game. Oftentimes, when you have two backs in the backfield, you got to bring the third backer because most teams are playing with two linebackers because of the advent of the pass game and how spread the field is. And so from a defensive perspective, when I see that fullback, I know it's going to be power run game. It's going to be several more gaps than we're used to accounting for. And the physicality of the game innately goes up when the fullback is in the game because most fullbacks aren't pass catchers like Kyle Juszczyk. Most fullbacks, Laura, have short
That's
necks.
Right.
They got a thick neck roll, and all they're trying to do is hit somebody upside the head. So the game is going to get way more physical when the fullback comes in. Think about Patrick Ricard for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot, 300 pounds. Does that not scream defensive tackle or fullback? Yeah, it's about to be physical when that dude comes in.
You got to look out for the neck roll there. Jeff, here's the thing, though. How does this particular scheme and what we're talking about here potentially benefit Tua Tagovailoa at the quarterback spot?
Oh, listen, it's enormous because you think about what San Francisco has run under Shanahan, right? Well, you have boots, you have waggles, which gets the quarterback outside of the pocket and moving. It cuts the reads down. Now you're playing half the field. And again, we just talked about that fullback. He now is a personal protector. If you need to keep him in to seal the edge or to widen out, and then by the way, he can become a receiver if nobody covers him, turn around, check the ball down if Tua doesn't see something down deep in the backfield. I love what he's doing and what he's trying to bring this. It is the quarterback's best friend to have this style of offense when it's really humming.
Yeah, no doubt. Anytime your run game can be effective, then your play action pass game can really be dynamic. Tua Tagovailoa, like, we've given him every opportunity. Now they got weapons. He's got the perfect scheme. He's getting every opportunity to be successful. He better put up or shut up this year, because if he doesn't, there'll be a new quarterback in Miami next year. And I'm afraid for Tua, maybe we've just seen the best of him so far. I don't want to write him off and say a guy can't get better, but it's going to be really tough, I think, for him to solidify his starting job, not only this year, but moving into the future next year.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly been given all of the weapons around him and all of these great tools to have success. To your point, Boog, the pressure is on. Let's see what he can do.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. And back to our developing story today. Colin Kaepernick getting an opportunity to work out for the Las Vegas Raiders this week. Adam Schefter, what more should we know about this?
Laura, the workout is happening today, and this is the first workout for Colin Kaepernick since he was exiled from the National Football League. The last time he visited with an NFL team was May of 2017 when he flew to Seattle. Laura, that was 5 years ago. And the fact that the Raiders are going to have him work out today tells you that there has to be some level of interest in signing him, that this is not just some cursory look at a free agent quarterback. Nobody else has been willing to do what the Raiders are doing today, and that is to bring in Colin Kaepernick, who, oh, by the way, has been working out in Las Vegas, went to school in Nevada, gets to stay in that area if the Raiders opted to sign him. They have Derek Carr, Jarrett Stidham, and Nick Mullins on the roster, but they're taking a look to see if adding Kaepernick would be an addition to that quarterback room right now.
Adam, thanks for the latest today on this developing story. We'll continue to follow it. A reminder that it's been 1,970 days, Boog, since we saw Colin Kaepernick in an actual NFL game. As you hear this news, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I think it's real. The fact that they're willing to put their name on a workout and bring him inside their building, that way they know the coach and the GM are going to be out there watching. That's number one. Number two, I think we all realize that Colin Kaepernick is one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the world, considering 32 teams have at least two quarterbacks on the roster. So I think if he goes out and shows that he's capable and he's in shape and his arm is ready to go, yeah, I think it's good for him. We all know why Colin Kaepernick wasn't on an NFL team. Everyone knew that it had to do with the politics and all the kneeling and the flag and all that good stuff. So at least maybe, or at least there's one team that's willing to go past that and put their name on a workout and have their head coach and their GM and have Colin Kaepernick on an NFL field in an NFL building. And to me, that's progress. It should have been done a long damn time ago, but at least we got progress today.
In his career as a starting quarterback, Colin Kaepernick had a 28-30 record, led the 49ers to Super Bowl 47. And, Mike, when you think about the style of play in the NFL now, a lot's changed since we saw Kaepernick before. How do you think he would fit in the style of play that we were accustomed to seeing him play in a current NFL offense and what we're dealing with right now in the league?
Laura, I think he's an ideal fit. You know, when you think about Josh McDaniels and some of the play-action boots that he likes to do, that's a perfect fit for what Colin Kaepernick does so well. So again, I think when they work him out today and they look at the complementary pieces around like Josh Jacobs, now Davante Adams, he would be a great backup to Derek Carr. And again, I think this is also a referendum on what they think about Nick Mullins and Jarrett Stidham. That's what you're doing this time of year. So if this workout goes well, which I expect it would, I would try to sign him immediately so he has the best chance to be successful once training camp comes around and be in every OTA, be in the mini camp. So I think it's a good fit. And if I'm the Raiders, there has to be a sense of urgency as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. If the Raiders don't bring him in, how many other teams might be interested? Jeff, you mentioned off the top of the show as this developing story came through what you remembered about Kaepernick when he was on the field. You know, now it's been since 2017. Just remind everybody exactly how good a player, how good a quarterback, what impressed you about him when you saw him play?
Yeah, listen, he was running up and down the field. I was with the Green Bay Packers my final season in the NFL. We're in the playoffs out in San Fran, and I'm literally watching this guy just take the ball up and down the field with his legs, throw bombs on us like he just lit us up. They ended up going to the Super Bowl, obviously, that season and lost to the Ravens. But he played lights-out football, and again, I know people talk about his record and where he is, but to Mike T's point, the way the game has changed and moved more towards mobile quarterbacks and doing the things that Josh McDaniels likes to do, he had Tim Tebow when he was in Denver on his first stint as a head coach. He likes to get guys out of the pocket. And if Kaepernick has stayed in the shape he looks to have stayed in, like when we see the brief things, whether it be at Michigan or him out there throwing the ball with different guys and different workouts, if he's there, you would want to give him a chance, because to Boog's point, if he makes you a better team, he's the best or better than the two guys you got backing him up, your best 53 are who you want to walk in with. So I don't think he leaves. I think they bring him in to sign him, in all honesty.
Yeah, Boog, I'm thinking about Josh McDaniels and the quarterbacks that he's had. You think about Tom Brady. You think about some of these guys. Has he ever really had a mobile quarterback like what we think that Colin Kaepernick could bring to the table with the type of scheme that he wants to run?
Well, I don't think he's had anybody just like Colin Kaepernick. You can talk about Cam Newton, but Cam Newton, to me, was on the backside of his career. If Colin Kaepernick is in good shape and he's fast and he's of good weight, Josh McDaniel has never had anyone like that. And that's got to be intriguing to him when you can start talking about some of the play action, getting the quarterback on the edge. We saw a little bit of it with Cam Newton, but Cam was beat up, the shoulder, the physicality took its toll. I think the Raiders are licking their chops. If you can get a healthy Colin Kaepernick that can still push the football down the field, he was dynamic at his best, Laura.
Again, we will probably find out what's going on here pretty soon. Adam Schefter just confirmed at the top of this block that this workout happened today with the Raiders. And the Raiders do have some questions regarding the backup QB position. Right now they have four quarterbacks on the roster, but only Derek Carr has over 1,000 career pass attempts. You see it there. After Nick Mullins, it's Jarrett Stidham and undrafted rookie Chase Garbers. Time for one more thing before we go. In preparing for the match taking place on June 1st, where Tom Brady, that's next week, and Aaron Rodgers will tee off against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, Brady posted this golf swing on Twitter today. Brady sinks the shot from the fairway. Patrick Mahomes took notice and jabbed at his competitor. He said, Mahomes tweeting, "Not gonna lie, pretty impressive. Too bad you wasted it a week early." Guys, I just want a show of thumbs here. Does anyone believe that this is real? Like, as we bring you guys back on camera in a second, I want to know, thumbs up here, down. Is this real?
No chance. No chance.
Bug, you're in. Bug's a good golfer, too. That's big.
Yeah, listen, I am a golfer, unlike the other two guys. So anytime good golf shots are hit, I want somebody to think my golf shot is real. I'm going to think Tom Brady's is real.
I love it. Again, the match next week. We'll see what's actually real and what's not then. And we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for being with us.